Hallelujah. My daughter said she doesn't read text very good, and I agree with her. The title of my message is A Body of Power. A Body of Power. Okay. Apparently she didn't read my text very good, did she? But it's all right. It still works. Okay. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Let's begin in verse 1 here. It says, as it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now notice here that he's on one of his missionary journeys, and as he comes into Ephesus, he finds believers there. Okay? He finds what? Believers. People that have believed on the name of the Lord, right? So here he is, he's talking to believers, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they looked at him and said, we've never even heard of the Holy Ghost. We've never heard of such thing. And he says, well, how'd you get saved? That's what he asked, you know. And so they said, unto John's baptism. See, John came preaching repentance for Jesus' coming. And John baptized to repentance. Now, these people believed that Jesus was coming, so they believed on the Lord. They were baptized, and so they were born again. Now he comes down and says, have you received the Holy Ghost? They say, we don't even know. So he begins to explain to them how Jesus Christ died on the cross and all the process that went through. And then he tells them, and then he sent the Holy Spirit here so that he could fill us up. Now notice that after they were baptized again, because they wanted to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, don't get into the doctrine that you have to be baptized in. Basically, when you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son is who? Jesus. Right? So when you get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, you're getting baptized in the name of Jesus too. It's not about what you say when you get baptized. It's about the act of you being baptized and showing that you believe. It's an outward showing of an inward belief. But they were baptized, and notice that after that, then Paul lays hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, and what happened? They begin to speak in tongues, right? Prophesy. Amen. Now, I want you to get this, because, see, there is so much of the world and so much of the church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. They just don't believe it. And I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to show you one of the reasons why. Because they want to try to explain something away. They want to try to say it was for the early church. We are still the early church. It happened in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. And we are still New Testament believers. Amen. If you couldn't find it in the Word, then it'd be different. But it's all through the Word. And we're going to talk about it because I want to talk about this so that you can understand that we are a body of power. We are endued with power from on high. And I want to show it to you. So if when you look at this, you have these believers that's been there for some time. There's 12 of them. And after Paul comes down, they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul starts teaching them. They go out and they evangelize that whole area. So they go from 12 to the big church at Ephesus. And why? Because they were endued with power. And I'll show you in a minute how Jesus said, when you get endued with power, you become witnesses. They went out and began to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, winning people to Christ, and they began to evangelize that whole area. Now, we cannot emphasize enough the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. I know a lot of churches are not preaching it. A lot of people are not teaching it. Even Pentecostals are not preaching it like they used to. But it used to be that's all you ever heard. But see, what's happened is we've got a little too dignified. Come on, we got a little too proper. We've tried to get a little too politically correct because we didn't want any. Listen, I'd rather be called a holy roller as a dead church. Amen. If I'm going to be talked about, I'm going to be talked about for doing what the Word of God says, not doing that. That didn't sound right, but it's okay anyway. It worked, okay? I want to do what the Word says. And I don't care what anybody else says. See, I'm not worried about what the neighbor up the road or down the road says. I don't care what they say about me. As long as I'm kind of like Stephanie was when it came to the giving part. When it comes to following God, I'm going to follow the Word of God. You can do what you want to, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And it'll be up to you whether or not you want to do it or not. But you see, I'm not going to have to look at the Lord when I get to heaven and Him look at me and say, why didn't you tell Him what my whole Word said? Why'd you just tell Him the part that pleases men? Amen. So it's important. We have to emphasize. We need to get more excited about being filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving our prayer language, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you see, it's so important that you have what God says you can have. There's power available to you, and it's dynamic power. It's Holy Ghost power. It's supernatural power that God has already placed the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, but He wants you to begin to operate in that power. But it's going to be up to you whether you decide to or not. You don't have to. You know, I can put a piece of dynamite in my pocket and just carry it around all the time. It's harmless as long as I'm not lighting it or doing nothing with it. Right? It's not going to blow up nothing. But man, I can light that fuse and you better look out. Something about to happen. Come on, I can remember back when we were younger, almost every New Year, somebody would go back. We got a High Rocks. Most places have a High Rocks around their house, but we've got a High Rocks over there around the home. And somebody would go back there, and almost every New Year, that somebody would set off a stick of dynamite. When that dynamite went off, I'm going to tell you that whole place over there shook. People for miles and miles around heard that thing go off. Why? Because it had power, and that power was released when they set it off. You see, that's what God wants you and I to do. He wants you and I to explode with the power of God. He wants us to explode on people so they see His power and they know it, they hear it, and they see it in us. So we can't emphasize enough. Now see, religion tries to explain it away. They try to tell you it's not for today. I can remember when I first began preaching and was first saved, I was in a denominational church after I got called to preach. You know, contrary to popular belief, you don't just get called to preach and start preaching because you don't know anything to preach. And if you don't study, you won't know anything to preach. So I learned real quick that if I was going to be preaching, and that's what God had called me to do, I better start trying to learn some things. First of all, study the Word of God. But then there were things, you know, because I was younger back then, and there was a lot I didn't know because I hadn't been churched. I hadn't heard a lot. So I started buying books and things to try to help me to learn. And one of the sets of books that I bought was by a person that was very popular at the time, very famous at the time. And he I don't know how long ago he lived, but he wrote a whole set of a commentary of the Bible, and his name was Matthew Henry. And some of you may have heard of him, may have not, but there's the whole Matthew Henry commentary of the Bible. And it was really, I mean, you had to be wanting to study before you'd read after him, because he would take, you know, like one verse, and you may read 10, 12, 15 pages that he wrote on that one verse. And he was very proper. I mean, smart, smart man. But here's the thing. Just because somebody's smart don't mean they know it all. So I want to read you just a little excerpt from that, because I knew that he did not believe in Holy Ghost filled. You see, back then I didn't either, because I didn't know. Okay, I had to learn from the Word of God, and I've experienced what I'm talking about now also. But listen to this. Now this is concerning this whole situation where Paul asked, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now listen to what he says. He said, "They did believe in the Son of God, but Paul inquires whether they had received the Holy Ghost, whether they believed in the Spirit, whose operations on the mind of men for conviction, conversion, and comfort were revealed sometime after the doctrine of Jesus being the Christ, whether they had been acquainted with and had admitted this revelation. This was not all. Extraordinary gifts of the Holy Ghost were conferred upon the apostles and other disciples presently after Christ's ascension, which was frequently repeated upon occasion. Had they participated in these gifts? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you had that seal of the truth of Christ's doctrine in yourselves? We are not now to expect any such extraordinary gifts as they had then. The canon of the New Testament being long since completed and ratified, we depend on that as the most sure word of prophecy. But there are graces of the Spirit given to all believers, which are as earnest to them." See how quickly he went from saying what the Bible said to all of a sudden now his opinion. Well, we shouldn't expect that now. Why not? What's changed? He's the same God. He's the same Holy Spirit. And He's living on the inside of us. And we're the same believers. You see, that's what I'd heard all my life. And I heard, you know, well, that's not for today. But it is for today, folks. I'm going to prove it to you before it's all over with. I'll show you the Scripture that says it's to everyone. Everyone. But you see, it was things like that that would cause people to not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Smart men that wrote, you've seen how much he wrote just on a little bit there. I mean, they were just page after page after page. But I wanted to bring that out because he said, we're not to expect that today. I want to tell you something. My God's not changed. He's the same God. My Holy Ghost has not changed. He's still the Holy Ghost that's full of power. And when He moves, things happen. Amen. Given certain graces. Are you kidding me? Certain grace. But I bet you if you could have went back and asked him, do you believe in a second work of grace? He would have said no. Because that's what they say. Oh, we don't believe in a second work of grace. I believe in grace after grace after grace after grace. God's grace is always available to us. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a second grace. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in a believer when they'll receive it. And it's for every believer. It's not for certain denominations and not for some others. It's for every born-again believer. Matter of fact, the Bible is written to Holy Ghost-filled believers. Amen. Written by Holy Ghost believers. Amen. You see, but people want to time it. I bet I want to just show you that religion tries to explain it away. Well, what did Jesus say about it? And see, that's what's most important, right? So jump over here. I'll just take you on a little path here. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. John chapter 4, verses 5. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith to her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Notice here what the Lord Jesus Christ tells her. He says it'll be a well of water raising up. Notice that. A well of water in you rising up into everlasting life. Here Jesus is talking about being born again. You see, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Once you get born again, you have that well. You have the Spirit, and a well is something that you draw from. See, you draw when you've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So now we're going to draw from that. Whenever I need help, I'm going to draw. The Holy Spirit's going to talk to me. That still small voice. That's what he's talking about with her. But now let me show you something. Oh, jump over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Look what happens over here. John 7 and verse 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now here is Jesus again talking about water, but this time it's not a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now he's talking about a river that's flowing out. You see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for you to get empowered to go out into the world and God to work through you. The well of water in you, the born-again experience is for you. But to be filled with the Holy Ghost is for you to take the power of God and go out to others and help them. You see, that's why it's so important to get filled with the Holy Ghost, because it empowers you to go out and let other people experience the power of God in your life. Amen. You see, yeah, now you can be like Matthew Henry if you want to and say, well, that's not for me. And you won't have to worry about it. It won't happen. But here's what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. If you want to jump over there real quick, we're talking about what Jesus said about this. He says in verse 8, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, into all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice that the Lord Jesus says, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Notice that he says, you'll be witnesses. Well, isn't that what happened to them up there when they got filled with the Holy Ghost at Ephesus when Paul went to them? Sure, they went out and began to witness and won all of Asia Minor there. Now, Jesus, he's told them this, and so when Paul tells it to those believers there at Ephesus, they do what Jesus said. You and I need to be doing what the Lord Jesus said to do. Amen. You see, that's the thing. The church is not really doing what they should be doing because they're not really taking the power of God and going out and being the witnesses they should be. Amen. Let me tell you something else Jesus said. Mark chapter 16, 15. He said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, for they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. See, what we're trying to see here and what I want you to see is this, that there is power that's available to us if we will allow the Holy Ghost to do His work through us. Notice it said that these signs will follow them that believe in My name. It did say these signs will follow the pastors. These signs will follow the apostles. These signs will follow the early church. These signs will follow the first people that got saved during the New Testament time. No, it said, these signs will follow them that believe in My name. Anybody in here believe in the name of Jesus? I think that's why we're here, right? So these signs will follow them that believe. That means everything after that is for you. The power of God working in you to do those things. Now you say, well, I don't see how I could do it. It's not you, but the Holy Ghost working through you. But He can't work through you unless you allow Him to work through you. See, all this works by faith. Our God's a faith God. Matter of fact, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. So we operate in faith, and God wants the whole church, not just part of the church. Come on, see, what you have to understand, folks, is there is no power in religion. There is no power in religion. Oh, you can go to church and you can have your little service and you can get up and you can have some singing, you can have a sermonette, but there's no power in that if you leave the Holy Ghost out, because only in the Holy Ghost is there power. Amen. And see, here's the thing. Folks like to get comfortable and not be moved around. They don't like for God to do something that makes them uncomfortable. Come on. Most folks, but a lot of folks rather go and sit in a church service that's so dead that you don't know the difference between it and a funeral, as to have the Holy Ghost move and somebody start shouting, somebody start running, somebody start jumping, somebody speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance and interpretations and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Because that makes them uncomfortable. Amen. You see, that's why a lot of the religion doesn't want anything to do with speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is because now that puts them in a little different category. Now they over here with us crazy Jesus freaks. And a lot of people would rather have their social status as to be part of that. There are folks watching right now that would give their eye teeth to be here. But because of their social status, they won't come to this church. I meet them out. Love your program. Love to watch you. Love to hear you preach. What? How come you going to that church and I know it's dead? Right. So it tells me that it's a thing of pride. I'm going to tell you something. I'll take Jesus if I look like a fool. Because I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than be a smart man for the world. Or for religion. Come on. You see, because the only thing matters, church, is that we please Him. And pleasing Him is doing what His Word says. He said, don't even call Me Lord if you're not going to do what I say to do. And so, and then there's the other side of this. Please understand that God is a God of order. This church is a church of order. You don't have people getting up doing all kinds of crazy, stupid stuff because, see, that's not what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman and He doesn't do stuff out of order. There's not somebody going to jump up and start speaking in tongues while I'm preaching. You know why? Because if the Holy Ghost is preaching through me, the Holy Ghost is not going to interrupt Himself preaching through me and start giving a tongue somewhere. Now, if there's a tongue needs to be given, there'll be space and time made for that so that it does get to come forth if that's what God wants done. Amen. And if it's a tongue given, there'll be an interpretation given to that if it's a tongue for the church. Right? If there's a prophecy to be given. See, they're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit for a reason. It's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the prayer language that you get when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, now see, that's a language between you and God. And so that's what we're talking about there. You need to get filled, first of all, so that you can begin to pray in that heavenly language. Well, what's the importance of that? When the Bible says that when you don't know how to pray as you ought, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind and will of God, will pray for you. And therefore, you're praying out the perfect prayer, even though you might not even understand what you're saying. And you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, you don't understand it. Now, you can ask God, and sometimes He'll show you the interpretation of it, because that's another gift of the Spirit. But most of the time, you just got to trust and rely on God, that as I pray in the Spirit, I trust the Holy Ghost that He's praying out good for me, because God's always working all things together, right? For good to them that love and serve Him. You see? And so, you know, you have to get past yourself, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then begin to speak in other tongues, even though you don't understand what you're saying. Amen. Now I'm going to go on just a little bit, because I told you I want to explain this some and get into this. So we need to receive this power. You don't get it with religion. You get it by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus told them to wait. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So Jesus tells the disciples, He says, don't you go anywhere until you get endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost is coming. You've been born again, but there's something that you need. You need to be endued with power. Then you jump over to Acts chapter 2. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." As the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, here we have the disciples. They waited, they tarried, and really, when you look at it, about 500-600 of them, there were there starting out. Jesus appeared to many of them, but when it gets down to the upper room experience, there's 120 left. Amen. So when you look and you start looking around, you have to see, am I one of the 120? Am I one of the ones that I'm going to wait for God? I'm going to ask God to give me this experience, because I realize how crucial it is. It was such a miracle that day when they all began to speak with tongues and the Holy Ghost was moving. The power of God was upon them. As they spoke, people there from all different countries, they just heard their language. And someone said, how is it these men are Jews and we hear them speaking in our language? See, that was one of the miracles God did that day. You know, you get 120 people speaking, it's going to sound like gibberish. But for some reason, supernaturally, they all could understand what was being said in their own language. Part of what God does. See, and I've heard people say, well, you know, that's what that is. It's just another language. It is another language, but it's a heavenly language. It's a supernatural language. It's a language and a direct link between you and God. And see, the wonderful thing about it is the devil cannot understand it. Do you know the devil's not as smart as you give him credit for? He's not nearly as smart as you give him credit for. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't know everything like God does. A lot of people try to give him credit for it, but he doesn't know. And so how do you know it? Well, my Bible tells me that. When I study out my Bible, I found out that the devil didn't even know who the baby Jesus was. Right? You surely would have known that, but he didn't know that. That's why they ended up killing all the babies. That's why Herod killed every baby from 2 and under, because he was trying to get to Jesus, because the devil didn't know for sure who he was. Jesus is 30 years old, walking around on the earth, and the devil don't know who he is. How do you know that? Because he's been here all alone. He's on the earth. Now, the Bible says that the first miracle he did was in Canaan. So this, he's not done any miracles yet. He's been the carpenter's son, but still, he's still Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, 100% God, 100% man. He's still on this earth. The devil don't know who he is. But then all of a sudden, he goes out to John the Baptist's baptisms. And when he goes out there, all of a sudden John the Baptist goes, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And the devil goes, "Aha! So that's him." And from that point on, it was just nothing but the Pharisees, the religious sect, the devil using them to try to get rid of Jesus, because now Satan knew who he was. See, so he don't know everything. Why am I telling you that? Because some of you need to keep your mouth shut. Because you tell him things he don't know. You tell him things about you he don't know. And once it comes out of your mouth, then he can hear it, and then he knows how to attack you. I know that. Come on, see, you've got to understand that. I keep telling everybody, your words have power. They have power for you, but they can also have power against you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the devil doesn't know everything, so when you get there, I'm just really afraid of that right there. Oh, so that gets to him, huh? Okay. Come on. See? So you have to understand that when you pray in your prayer language, even if it's just something you're afraid of, if you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is praying for you, and it'll be kept between the Holy Ghost and God and you. You don't have to worry about the devil butting in on that. Now, he may try while you're praying in the Holy Ghost to start injecting thoughts into your mind. He may try to intrude, but you see, that's all he's doing is trying to break up your prayer. He doesn't want you praying in the Holy Ghost because that's something he can't handle. He realizes that special place he had with God at one time, you got it now. When he was the anointed cherub, now you're the anointed one. And yeah, you're talking to God and he can't. Think about it for a minute. Now, let's move on. So, it says here that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, then the Holy Ghost came upon them. They began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in Acts chapter 5, in verse 12, I'll read it to you. It says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest doth no man join them himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." How many were healed? Every one. Why? These men were not Jesus. These men were not men that were any different than you and I. They were fishermen by trade. Most of them were. Luke was a physician. We had some others that had some other traits, but most were fishermen. Just normal, ordinary people that became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and then got filled with the Holy Ghost. And after they got filled with the Holy Ghost, now think about this. Peter's just a fisherman. After he got filled with the Holy Ghost, there was such power there that the people in faith laid people out on the sidewalks that if Peter's shadow could pass over them, they'd get healed. Come on, you think about that for a minute. A fisherman with that kind of power. Well, you see, it wasn't him. Again, it's the Holy Ghost power that was in him. Notice that they brought all kinds of sick folk there, even folks filled with devils, and they were everyone healed and delivered. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost was working and operating in them, in believers. It's why it's so important. The church can never be what the church needs to be as long as we remain powerless. As long as we just come into another church service. As long as we just come in to sit around and participate and spectate instead of participate. Right? Come on, I want to be part of something that's moving and growing. I want to be something part of something that's powerful. And we're seeing the hand of God move and change lives. The reason people went to see Jesus was because of signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't you want people to come here to see signs, wonders, and miracles? Absolutely. And see, God will use you to work those. He'll work through you to do that. Now, see, this is God doing all this through the Holy Ghost. And here's the thing. The Holy Ghost is still here. Come on. The Holy Ghost is still here. His power is still here. It's time for the believers, though, to move in this power. Believers have to move in this power. And I told you a few minutes ago, it's for every believer. It's not, you know, some folks will say, well, I just don't know that it's for me. Yes, it is. Let me prove it to you. I'm going to remember over there when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. They're all talking. Acts chapter 2, we just read it a minute ago. Then there were some sitting there, you know. Apparently, not only are they speaking in tongues, prophesying and all that, but they're staggering around like drunk folk. I'm going to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost on you so much that it's hard to stand, that's fun. That's fun. I'm going to tell you something. It's awesome when God's so strong on you that you just really don't... you can't explain that. And the onlookers there are looking at them. Here they are, you know, they're praying in tongues and they're staggering around, you know, trying to stay on their feet. And they say, well, these men are drunk. They're just drunk. But Peter rises up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that which Joel spoke of. In the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And that's what had happened. It had been poured out on all flesh. Well, he just keeps right on preaching down through Acts chapter 2. And he begins to talk about David and he brings it all back into the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him and say, now what you're seeing right now, that's all a product of what's been written. And so we pick this up here in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Notice this for everybody. You're not exempt. God wants to fill you. If you're a believer, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's something you've got to desire. So how do I receive the Holy Ghost? Well, number one, you receive it by faith. By faith, just like you got born again by faith, and you said, Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, that you were placed in the tomb, and on the third day you rose again, so I receive you as my Lord. Thank you, Father, I'm saved. Amen. Well, you just believe that. You say, well, I don't know that gets you saved. Well, then the word's a lie. And we know God can't lie. So that's what you believe to get saved. Well, when it comes to being filled with the Holy Ghost, I thank you, Father God. I believe I receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, and given my supernatural language. I just receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You do that in faith. Amen. Well, what can I expect if I do that? Well, I'll tell you what you can expect. You can expect on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit is going to kind of begin to boil up on the inside of you. On the inside of you, there's going to be like, it's different for people, different people. Some people say they can hear words, and it's not English. And some people say like they see words that don't look like English. But either way, see, it's the Holy Ghost wanting to speak out of you. It's not you doing the talking. It's the Holy Ghost doing the talking through you. Except the Holy Ghost is in you, so He's got to use your mouth, your lips, your voice. Amen. See, you've got to understand that. And so you can choose. The Holy Ghost can be wanting to speak through you, but you can choose not to let Him. Just like you can quench the Holy Spirit and not do what He says when He's giving you that unction to do something. Amen. You see, because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman and He is subject to you. Always will be. That's why He lets you do your will, even when it's not what the Father wants. Now, will he unction you? Will you sometimes think, oh gosh, what is that? Well, that's the Holy Ghost telling you not to do that. But you can choose to ignore that. But the same thing happens when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can choose not to speak the words. And see, what happens to you immediately when you're getting filled with the Holy Ghost is the enemy comes in and starts messing with your mind. And he'll start telling you, "I don't. That's stupid. Don't say, you know, don't be saying stuff like that. Well, that's just stupid." Or, you know, if somebody's praying in tongues with you there, they'll say, "Oh, you're just trying to say what they're saying." That's what the enemy does. Come on now. Well, you know, if it was wrong, and a lot of people say, "Oh, but I think that stuff is all wrong. That's the devil." Why would the devil try to talk you out of it? He's not going to talk you out of something that's him, right? So you see, you have the choice. I can talk in English or I can go ahead and just speak in tongues. You see, but it's allowing the Holy Ghost. Now, that was just for an example of you to show you that, so I wasn't trying to talk to you, so I don't have to interpret to you what I just said. I just want to give you an example because the Bible says, as the Spirit gives utterance. Well, the Spirit's in me. Come on. He's always wanting to talk to the Father. Right? And so when we allow Him to, He will. And so this is some things that you can expect. And then what happens to you as you're praying in your heavenly language, now you've opened yourself up to the world of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and all of a sudden now God starts to operate through you. There'll be things that you'll know, and God will show you some things, and the gifts of the Spirit listed in chapter 12 will begin to operate in you as God wills, when God wills. Did you hear me? Because you see, you're not in control of the gifts, the Holy Spirit is. Now, you can not do it, or you can do it. You're in that part of it. But when it comes to working a miracle, that's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When it comes to giving a tongue to the church, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit, just as interpretation of the Spirit is. But at the same time, you have a prayer language that you can pray to God anytime you want to, and then God can give you an interpretation of what He wants to, but again, that'll be a working and a gift of the Holy Spirit. Hope I'm not being too confusing about that. But you see, it's a deep subject that's hard to be covered in just a short time. But what my emphasis today is this. Let's get filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's let the power of God come and reside on the inside of us. And let's begin to practice. I'm going to tell you something. You start praying in the Holy Ghost and the Bible says, Jude told us that you're building yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're building yourself up, building up your faith, building, and as you build yourself up, God can do more for you because now all of a sudden I'm like, hey, this is real. Come on now, because the devil's going to tell you it's not real. Amen. I remember many, many years ago when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, I'd talk to somebody else and they'd told me their experience and said, I don't know, I'm kind of afraid of that, you know. But I studied the Word of God and I went outside and was working, and I was working in Pike County, and I would ask God to, and my experience was, from what I was reading and what I was thinking, I was standing up there in a mobile home away, working from away from home, and I would pray when I'd get up of the day, work night shift, and I'd pray, God, I want you to fill me, and I didn't know no better, okay? I'm still a Baptist at this time, okay? I don't know anything yet, but I'm learning. And I thought when I read Acts of chapter 2, I was waiting for the doors to fly open on that trailer. You know, the Holy Ghost just to come rushing in that place. I didn't know what to expect. You know, but I knew it was real and I was believing God for it. But at that time, see, I didn't know about faith like I know about faith now. That all I got to do is believe I receive and I can have it. I was more or less hoping I'd get it. Does that make sense to you? You know, I kind of like a lot of them say, I was a hoping and a praying, you know. Which ain't really faith. But anyway, God knew my sincerity in this thing. And I was outside working one day, turned down an old building, and I all of a sudden this word just came up. I just said it. I said that word and the devil said, "Well, you just made that up." Well, I thought to myself, well, how could I make up something I don't even know? You know. So So I just said it again. You know? And I just, there was just a peace came over me. To the point that I could come to the house and get a water, drink a glass of water or something. And when Pastor Ed opened the door, I'm smiling. You know, I can't get the smile off my face. She said, "What's wrong with you? What's going on? What are you up to?" Nothing. I was just, it was there. And I had a piano lesson that afternoon with a spirit-filled lady. And I went over there and I was telling her what happened. She was a member of Pastor Huffman's church at that time. And I told her what. She said, "That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost." I said, "It is?" That's how dumb I was about it. I said, "It is?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "That's the heavenly language." I said, "Well, just got one word." And she said, "Well, you just need to go somewhere, get by yourself and just let it out." I got home that night and I started walking up the road at Mine Fork. And I'm walking up Mine Fork Road. I know people probably watching must have thought I was crazy. I just start walking up through. I said, "Lord, I believe I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm just going to speak this language as it comes out." And all of a sudden it started coming. And I'm just, "Oh, shambhala, oh, shambhala, I'm just praying and speaking in tongues and all the way up the road and come back down, man, and I ain't quit since. Amen. I don't want to quit. Now, yours might be different. Your experience may be different. But I'm just telling you what it was like from a person that didn't know what to expect. Never been around anybody that had spoken tongues or anything much. You know, I just knew it was real. And I knew there had to be more than God than just going to church and sitting in church. And just having a 5-minute prayer and then sit there and try to think of what else I wanted to pray about. Anybody else been there besides me? I still don't like to pray a lot in English. I'd rather kick over into the Holy Ghost and you can pray for hours in the Holy Ghost and you're not praying the same thing over and over. Come on, it's because the Holy Ghost is praying out that perfect prayer. I found myself sometimes praying in the Holy Ghost and all of a sudden it would change. The way I was speaking out, it would change. And I've had the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, "You're interceding now for a particular country. You're interceding for this or you're interceding for that." And I'm like, wow, you know. But see, the Holy Ghost, I mean, there's believers everywhere that need our prayers. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's getting to where it needs to go. The perfect prayer is being prayed. That's why it's so important to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Besides that, all the gifts of the Spirit that can work in you. So today, I just want us to just kind of focus on and understand that the church is not supposed to be a social gathering. Although we are to a certain extent, but that's not the reason we come together. We're not a weak social gathering, but we are the body of Christ. And we have the power of God on the inside of us. We need to start using it. We need to start getting excited again about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to get people excited about, "I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost." I couldn't wait to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I was excited about it. I was craving. I was seeking. I wanted to get filled with the Holy Ghost because I knew that there was more of God. If you're in this place this morning, you can have more of God if you want it. Stand with me. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, that you're the God of more than enough. And I thank you, Father God, when we think we're full, you're just ready to pour more into us, to fill us to overflowing. Thank you, Father God, for rivers of living water flowing out of us. Thank you, Father God, Lord, for that well of water that's in us, that salvation that we can draw from. And I pray in either case, Father, today, if there's somewhere in here, they need Jesus in their life. They need to be saved. I pray today's the day they're going to choose to be saved. I thank you, Father God, there's someone here that's not filled with the Holy Ghost. Today's the day that they're going to choose to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that rivers of living water can flow out of them. In either case, I thank you, Father God, you're the giver of these things. And I thank you that it's free to us if we'll just ask and receive. And we give you praise for that right now. In Jesus' name. Anybody and everybody that receives that, say, amen, amen. If you're here this morning, you need Jesus in your life, I want to give you an opportunity to come.